I was born in Ballymoney in County Antrim in Northern Ireland in 1993. I'm the middle boy between two sisters. My older sister Catherine, she was born 3 years before I was. She's 27, and then Hannah, she's the young one, she's 10. So I'm sort of the mummy's boy in between. I had the privilege of being born in a Christian home. And by saying that, I mean that my parents were saved long before I was born, and they would have no doubt prayed before I was born even that I might myself be saved. My grandparents on my mother's side, they were also saved long before I was born. And as I've got older, it's something that I've grown to appreciate much more. When I was younger and at school, it was maybe at times to my shame, it was seen as what kept me away from being able to go certain places with my friends, or on a Sunday, everyone, I was playing football or whatever, but we were going to the meetings. But certainly as I've got older, it's a real privilege. You see some of the situations children are born into nowadays, and I can't be thankful enough to God for it. From a young age, I was taken to Rosharkham Sunday School. I'd have been about 2 or 3 years old. Pretty much just as soon as we could go, we were taken. And also along to Ballymoney Gospel Hall, where my mum and dad were in fellowship. To gospel meetings and the morning meeting as soon as we could. So my aunt, she took a bit to do with the Sunday school in Rosharkham, so we were always given every week coloured verses and pieces of paper of what we had to learn. So really from that, what I'm trying to emphasise, from a very early age, I knew that I was a sinner. From verses and from messages, it was really drummed into us from an early age that we were born in sin and needed a saviour, you know. I'd just like it to make it very clear at this point in the meeting that we're all born in sin. I'm aware not everyone's maybe brought up in the same situation as I've been brought up in, but we're born into this world as sinners. Not that even if we lived our life perfectly without committing sin, which is impossible, we're brought into this world as sinners because of the first man and woman that God created, Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve was deceived and took the fruit, and Adam willingly took, and from that point sin entered into the world. I then went to primary school, the Sligan Primary School, been around the age of 4 or 5. And the first gospel series I can really remember attending was at Coleraine, and the preachers were the late Peter Orsock and Mary McCandless, and there was a lot of people saved at those meetings from what I can remember. But really, at this point, I didn't really understand. I was nearly too young, and I had no real thoughts about my soul at this point. The first time I remember ever being spoke to, it was when we went on a family holiday in the year 2000. We went to Florida, and I don't know, I was just spoken to by the experience. I don't know if it was because it was the first time I was taken out of the comfort of sheltered Northern Ireland, or if it was just the bright lights of the world or whatever, but I was just spoke to at this time, and I really would have liked to be saved. And it was actually at this time I did make a profession. I can't remember what it was. I think my mum and dad were down trying to get ice out of an ice machine or something, and I remember kneeling down beside the bed, and I said words down the line of, "God save me." And at this point I thought I had got saved, but really it was just a repetition, and I had no realisation that Christ had died for me personally. I didn't take that in. And of course I said I had got saved. I thought I was saved at this point. I told everyone I was saved, and of course news soon travelled and everyone at home heard as well, and there's obviously rejoicing at that time. But it wasn't really too long after that till I realised I hadn't got it, and I was soon anxious again. And those thoughts that I was having, I didn't feel any different. And from other young fellas at Ballymoney, which had been saved at my age, I just knew I hadn't got what they had. I hadn't that peace. The next stage of my life between this and going to secondary school, I kind of went through periods of seeking salvation and other times not. I was just a typical young boy. I enjoyed playing football at this stage and my friends, and you know, quite often I'd have really been having been spoke to on a Sunday night and being anxious to be saved. The time Monday morning came and I was back at school, the thoughts were away. And this kind of just went as a cycle at this point through my life, being times being anxious and other times not. All this time, I kept it to myself that I wasn't actually saved. I don't really know why. I think there's I wish now I'd just have come out with it. But there's a couple of things in my life. My grandfather just passed away, and he had heard that I got saved before that, and I was very quiet at that age, and just coming forward to admit that I hadn't got it, but I really now wish I would have. But however, I remember on one occasion in particular being really searching for salvation. It was a series of gospel meetings at Rishark, and the speakers were Alistair Caldwell and David McGarvey, and quite often the topic was the rapture and a lot of the nights at these meetings. And I remember nearly trembling in my seat night after night with the thought of being left behind at the rapture. And I always wonder if it was obvious that I wasn't saved, because I really was anxious and I was literally trembling in the seat. The rapture was a particular fear I had when I was younger, and the thought, it was me and Catherine at this stage, and Catherine was saved, and I was the only one in the family, and the thought of being left behind. I can remember on occasions waking up through the night, you know, maybe getting up and going and listening at the door of my mum and dad's bedroom, and if I heard them breathing, I'd have came back to bed knowing that the Lord hadn't came and would have been relieved. And maybe other occasions, I can remember one occasion where I think it was Dad just was in the house, and the house was very quiet, and I looked around and couldn't see him, but he was outside, and I'd thought the Lord had come and was in distress. But this was just really the thoughts I had at this time, and I was really searching. But you know, I just really couldn't see it. It's hard to get away from John 3:16 when you're telling your testimony. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, and on various occasions through this time and gospel messages that I heard John 3:16, and I really got fixated with the word believe. And to the point where I confused myself. I was making it out to be a work. I was trying to believe. I was trying to believe harder. Was I not believing hard enough? And I got to the extent where I was just making a work out of it. But anyway, next sort of phase of my life, I started secondary school at Dariada. I was about 12 years old. And this is when I actually got salvation. It was an ordinary gospel meeting at Ballymoney. It certainly wasn't ordinary for me. The speaker was Samuel Fenton, and I don't remember exactly what he spoke on or where he read, but it was just in his remarks he had been talking about the work of the Lord and on the cross and how he died for our sins. And at one point in his message he just said, just accept it, the work is done. And you know, it just hit me at that point that Christ died for me personally. That was the first time I seen that and understood it. And I just rested there. You know, I got my eyes off myself, off trying to believe and put what I could do to obtain salvation. I just got my eyes off myself and took a look in faith at Christ and what he did for me. You know, I wonder, has everyone here had that experience? Because that's really, as regards eternity, that's all that counts. It's the most important thing in life. Everything else is really irrelevant, no matter what you achieve. I don't have the exact date of when this was. I wish I did, but I know I was 12 at the time. But the important thing is I have that clear moment in my life's experience when I realised that the Lord Jesus died for me. It wasn't actually till a little while after this, well, a couple of years actually, until I actually told of when I actually had got saved. So I certainly kept the light under the bushel, and the devil really worked quickly, and instead of coming out and telling the truth, it was a couple of years later when I first told my mum I got salvation. I read earlier on in John 1 verse 29, and the phrase I took out from that was, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, if you're not yet saved in this meeting tonight, you might say, well, what has this verse got to do with me? Where do I fit into this verse? Well, it really has everything to do with you. Because everyone, I fit into the world in this verse, taketh away the sin of the world. Everyone that's here in this gathering tonight fits in. In fact, the whole world does. Because the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, cruel men first took him and nailed him to that cross. And then for 3 hours in darkness, there God laid on him our sins. They weren't any of his own, because he was perfectly and spotless, but that's the reason that he could be put there in place and bear our sins. What really stuck out to me about this verse, you know, is behold the Lamb of God. That's really what I took a look in faith at Christ and realised he died for me. I got away from what I could do, the works I was trying to put in to obtain salvation. You know, this message, it doesn't require a high level intelligence. It doesn't require, you know, an addition of works, an addition of something else to obtain salvation. That's one of the most precious things about it, that nearly the youngest here could even accept it. Yeah, it's just simple faith and rested upon what Christ has done for you. But you know, to get saved, it has to be the priority in your life. It can't just be, it'll be something I'll sort out at some point in my life. I'll get to it. It has to be number one priority. And it certainly should be, because it's the most important thing. Everything else is irrelevant. I then read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, this is really the serious side of this matter. You're here at another Sunday night meeting here in Bicester, but, you know, we're only given that now is the day of salvation. You aren't guaranteed a fuller opportunity. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, it reads, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, you're really not here by chance tonight if you're here in your sins. You've been given another opportunity to hear the gospel. And you should really take this opportunity when you're given it. Since I've come here to study at Oxford, time is really just flowing. I've been busy, and it's unbelievable. One week's just flowing into the other, and it really got me thinking of how quickly time really goes. And it'd be all too easy to come here week by week and to think that you have time and maybe come here out of habit. But really, we're only given now as the day of salvation. We don't know when this could be the last meeting here in Bicester, because the Lord has promised in his word that he will come again and take all the saints home. And sometime you will have your last opportunity if you don't trust Christ. This meeting won't always happen here at Bicester. I trust that you might think on these things seriously and by faith rest upon the work that Christ has done for you.